This episode of FilmSack is brought to you by Shutterstock at Shutterstock.com. Use the code FilmSack3 and get 30% off any package at Shutterstock.com.
The killer was cunning. It was deadly. Neither a cure nor a vaccine could be found. We at the CDC had to contain it before it could spread beyond Manhattan Island. So we went after its carrier, the common cockroach.
Can I eat it, or will it eat me? This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. This is FilmSack. Welcome back to FilmSack. We mine the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, so you don't have to. Crossing show streams.
Mm-hmm.
This is Scott Johnson. Welcome to episode 154. Joining me tonight, Brian, violently pulled through the sewer drain, Dunaway.
That's almost what I had for my first one. I did this one instead. No, by all means. Please keep trying to explain your moral conundrum about the genetically altered bug plague released on Manhattan while I try to play chopsticks on the piano.
Brilliant. She didn't have to take much accountability for this, did she?
Right.
Also with us, Randy Shiny Wire Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott. Randy Deluxe here with the Kids Entrepreneur Network Brooklyn office, and have I got a deal for you! This week only, if you're between the ages of 10 and 14, bring all the bugs you've been collecting to our walk-in science labs, and you can walk out with $10! That's right, scientists are standing by, just waiting for you to drag in whatever poorly collected, badly preserved, six-legged specimens you're willing to part with, because that's really common, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Bucktooth and Butterbean, you're about to meet your demise.
I love Bucktooth.
That kid. Wow.
It's pretty rough.
Awesome.
Finally with us, Brian, the secretions are the same, Ibbot.
Got a telegram this morning. Gave me quite a fright. Said I'm going to do this movie where they don't use no lights. I got the Big Dark Bug movie, the Big Bug Mimic movie blues.
That's awesome.
I love when you did this.
Charles S. Dutton, ladies and gentlemen, over there.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Loved it.
I'm personally thrilled that Mimic has Charles S. Dutton in it and a whole bunch of other people I like. Scott Fletcher is going to explain what the movie's about before we get too far, though. Like usual, take it away.
Mimic. Miro Sorvino stars as an entomologist whose work results in the eradication of disease-carrying cockroaches, only to create a new breed of lethal man-size insect in the sewer systems of New York City.
New York City? Get a rope.
Get a can of Raid.
So there you have it. Scott Fletcher's reading, a short reading of the film Mimic, which came out in 1997, which I saw in the movie theater. Can't talk today. That was about the time I had a huge crush on Mira Sorvino. Still do.
Yeah.
Can't believe she's older than me, though. That weirds me out.
She's just cute.
Yeah, she's
cute
a cutie.
That's all I get on this movie.
Cutie pie. Her dad.
Eh.
Must be on her mom's side.
And a bad singer.
Yeah. I was trying to dig those up, and I couldn't find them. But I know. It's not the first time we've had a Sorvino on the show. And this directed by Del Toro, G. Del Toro, because I don't like saying his first name because I don't say it right. He's famous for your, he's got your Hellboys and your Pan's Labyrinth, which was amazing.
Oh yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh my gosh. It's so cool. It's a cool movie. It's people ask me what I think of it. I never say it's good, cause I don't think that's the right way to say it. It is good.
It's supposed to be fantastic.
Oh, it's amazing. Visually. I think all of it's amazing. I think the story's amazing. There's nothing about it I don't like, but I always describe it as cool because that's what it feels like to me. To me, it's his... You guys seen Tim Burton's Big Fish?
Yes, yes, yes.
My favorite Tim Burton movie is Big Fish.
Great movie.
And it's not, here's what it is. It's Tim Burton-y things in it, but it's rooted in a really reality-based kind of core story, and it's a story that's sort of just being told. And so it becomes less Tim Burton-ish because of the way he's telling the story. And that's how I feel about Del Toro's take with Pan's Labyrinth. Because it's fantastic and very Del Toro and tons of it, but it's all rooted in this really kind of hard war story, you know, set in, I guess it was set in Spain. Anyway, I just throw that out there to be snooty and film talky. Written by Donald A. Wolheim. He wrote the short story called Mimic, which was originally supposed to be a short film as part of a collection of films. These were going to be some Miramax thing. They were like sci-fi horror comedy shorts. Other segments grew into their own features as well. And they feature things like something called The Imposter and Alien Love Triangle. And this was originally supposed to be just 30 minutes, but they liked it and wanted to make it bigger. So that's what happened there. But Del Toro disowned it, which I can't understand why, because I think it's awesome. But whatever. He disowned the film after constant clashes with Bob Weinstein, one of the Weinstein brothers, who would frequently visit the set and make unreasonable demands about what should be shot, how it was being made, and so on, deviating away from the script. Since then, Del Toro has never worked with Weinsteins again, and probably hasn't had to. He's done fine on his own. But that's interesting.
Much better as an indie, actually.
Yeah, I agree. And So I love this movie. And when I saw it in the movie theater with my wife, and I don't remember who all. And I thought it was great. I love, you know, big monsters and alien kind of approaches to things. And I like good acting, and I like cool dark sets. And he had never let me down before that, so I was in. I was in, and I really enjoyed it then.
If you like dark sets, this is the movie for you.
This is the movie for you. And I've got to tell you, all these years later, still really liked it, like a whole lot.
Well,
so
I missed it at the theater. Didn't see it at the theater. Yeah. And I've seen it on DVD a lot. I think I probably saw it on VHS. Always there asking me, do I want to rent it? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, the cover art always threw me away from it because it's got – you know, it's got the big green splashes and everything
it's
on there.
It's 90s covers, isn't it? 90s covers
it looks
all
a
look
lot,
like that.
Yeah. Yep. Right. It looks a lot like Species. So I just kind of like went Mimic. It's just another Species knockoff. So I totally avoided this movie.
Mm. But now you're sad you did because it's cool, isn't it?
It's actually a very good movie. There's a lot of very positive things to say about this movie. Yeah. I mean, of course, it is still about giant bugs, which is an absolutely stupid idea. But otherwise...
But it's as big stupid bug stories go, at least it's scary. Yeah. And the idea that they mimic humans in a way that create just for a second, think about being in a crowded subway and not knowing that there's a dude standing near you whose Zerg-like carapace is now like turned into a human face and kind of sort of looks like a real guy and you're not paying attention to it. That is like one of the creepiest ideas.
Very creepy.
Oh, I love it.
That's kind of the problem I had with it was they didn't need to go that aspect of having it being able. I know the film is called Mimic.
Right.
Right.
But the bugs, the giant bugs that were born of this hybrid that was, you know, used, you know, basically the sending in the, you know, getting a bunch of snakes in to get rid of the rats. And I got a big snake problem. That would have been enough. And I think that this whole, they've also got the ability to look like us, but not quite.
Right. They never actually mimic anybody. The only mimicking going on is the kid who plays the spoons. He can make it sound like them. He can mimic anything. And I don't know if that was like the
double meaning
or double meaning or something.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, of course, they smear the goo all over him to mimic. You know, that was the whole big key word when he was watching the film. Oh, we're gonna mimic them. So I'm with Ibn on that. It was kind of like it was really kind of pointless. Other than it was just creepy.
Yeah, I like that. The guy that she was married to. How he mimicked a douchebag the entire film. I like that.
He did a fantastic
fourth meaning there.
Job.
She didn't look super happy to see him come out of the subway at the end, did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, right. Yeah, it's good. It's you again. Well, Randy, what were you saying?
My big problem with the film, taking away from Brian Ibbett there, is really their constant attempts to explain it using a really, really bad understanding of biology and evolution. Almost like a... It went beyond movie bad and into some sort of like, are they trying to troll us with this story bad? And I don't understand why they didn't just have the creatures be unexplained. Why did they try to explain? So they tried so hard.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. That's too bad. They didn't need to.
Like, can't we just wonder how did they get here? How did these bugs get to be what they are? Like, can't she, like, as a scientist, can't she just be baffled? Does she have to come up with these plausible explanations that in reality are awful and make no sense.
Yeah.
Right. I can kind of see where you're coming from, but also kind of see where the story is coming from as well, to have someone who's carrying guilt for creating this plague, this problem. If she wasn't at least trying to figure out what they were, then she would not be very scientist-y. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I mean, I think there's a general trend with this. So it's not like Randy's picking out a thing that's not true of other films. Like
I hate it.
Most of these movies do this, and it's too bad because I do. Okay, here's a moment in the movie where, and this is probably Del Toro and what he does best, but it's the most affecting thing in the film. First of all, I had no idea when I saw it in the theater that it was going to be what's his name. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Josh Brolin was in this. I had no idea because he wasn't anything back then.
Josh Brolin.
And he's great in this, I think. He's got the most subtle performance. It's why he's a great actor.
What was his character's name?
Dangus, or I don't know.
It was also Josh.
Was it Josh, really?
Oh, yeah, was Josh. Yeah.
All right, I'll be in your movie, but I can't be changing my name.
Yeah, he changed my
Danza.
Name.
I'm planning on Tony getting
Danza.
Really
He's
drunk.
The Tony Danza of Mimic. he's really compelling all the time anyway, I love watching him act. And in this, I think he's the best actor in the movie. But when he is killed, spoiler, that is such an effective death scene. And it's done so well because everything that happens that's real bad is all off screen. And the look on his face when he basically goes from terrified, in pain, get me out of this manhole, to that's it. All my vital organs have now been eviscerated, and you don't see any of it. But that look on his face haunts me, just haunts me as he's getting pulled down there and then yanking that sewing machine down with him. It's just so effective and so well done that I wish that kind of thinking would have applied to some more of these plot points like Randy mentions. Like, could you have just give us some credit to know that, oh, well, maybe when they wiped out, they eradicated that plague or whatever that was only affecting kids, this is a side effect of that. You didn't have to go into the four or five different dialogues she went into, monologues, where she explained it.
Well, and right up to I the love, end. Done. I love F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah, he's great.
And I just love any time he's in a movie, thanks to Last Action Hero, I get to refer to him as the guy who killed Mozart. And it's like I wanted his character to make sense.
Yeah.
I just wanted it to make sense. I don't know why. I just needed that. And it never happened. I didn't get that.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, whenever I see F. Murray Abraham now, I don't think of Mozart or Amadeus or any of that. I think of Stretchy Face Man from Star Trek. Insurrection. That's
Insurrection.
About yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's great in that.
Right.
He's an amazing actor. But yeah, this is him doing great work. It's her doing great work. It's everybody doing good work. It's great directorial stuff. It's good scares. There's a few jumpies that are maybe a little tropey, but still they're kind of working. Charles S. Dutton is badass, and I just love him and everything. He's the best thing in Alien 3, by the way, which isn't great, but he's great in it. Mm-hmm. So it just seems like it should be, it should be just like the perfect cool action movie. And I think for the most part, it holds up. My biggest complaints are plot holes that they felt like they had to constantly be telling us they know about them and they're fixing them. And actually, that's really it. Like, I like everything else about it.
It's such a bleak movie, though. There is no fun to be had in this movie.
Right.
Well, there was no
problem with that lately.
Especially, so let's jump ahead to the thing with the kids. So they got Bucktooth and Butterbean. and they come out. I mean, we're having fun in retrospect, but in the film, it's a pretty dire deal. They find these weird bugs. They keep them in cereal boxes. They're trying to make a quick buck, whatever.
With newspaper.
Yeah, they're like nine with ear piercings. That all made me sad. Right. But my point is that when they find their demise, it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Children in peril is what I'm getting at here. This is a rare thing in movies.
It's a rare thing in movies for the kids to die. And usually when they do, they die in an accident or they die by the hand of some, evil guy who's been telling you for a while that he's going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. In this case, these kids just get pwned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Completely.
I mean, it's a wow. I actually murmured to myself early on in the film when we saw the kids first. I thought, oh no, this is a movie where the kids are going to outlive the adults.
Mm-hmm. Which is every movie. All. No, they didn't do that here.
Was this a first viewing, by the way? Did you just say that you'd seen it before?
I've never seen this before.
Okay.
All right.
So yeah, I'd seen it on DVD before, but only once before this.
So I'm the only one that paid $8.50 for me to see it in the theater.
Yes.
I was really into these things in the 90s. The 90s, to me, I have really fond memories of the 90s being the era where action got kind of rad. And, and special effects got better, and the way things were shot were more Hong Kong influenced and shaky cammed, and I really bought into all that. And so when things like this would come out, another good one is one we need to see on the show, which is, and it may be on our list, I don't know, but Relic with Tom Sizemore.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same deal. Like, all those things.
And that's another funny movie, because I confused this with Relic, because that's got Penelope Ann Miller, right? Museum thing?
Yes, museum thing. I don't. Is it Penelope Ann Miller? I forget. That feels like someone who should be on the Love Boat. Who is that?
She's Pee-wee's girlfriend in the first Pee-wee Herman movie.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know what I mean. She sounds like she should be on.
Yes, Penelope Ann Miller.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Downton Abbey. Yes, there was. Okay, it is the Relic. See, I confused when we were talking about this. I was thinking, oh, this is the one with the things that live in the basement of the museum, or the thing that, you know, an archaeologist discovered, blah, 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 and, right, and I've forgotten it. No, no, this is the bug one.
So with Brian, it's Species. For you, it's the Relic confusion.
Right.
It's a confusing movie all around.
Really is.
Anyway, I really like it, and I don't know why I like it so much. I mean, it's like Blade 2 is also Del Toro, and I feel the same way about Blade 2, and it's the same vibe.
Right. I like it because there's solid acting, there's solid directing, there's... You know, the worst part of the whole movie is the concept, the idea that, you know, we're fighting bugs in basically the sewer.
Yeah, but it's gross, like rubbing scent sacks all over
that's
yourself.
That doesn't even gross me out. That was just...
Oh, that grossed me out.
That just kept making me think.
Not at all.
Right. It just kept me making me think, this is all of it seems so Jurassic Park.
Yeah, but you're desensitized by all your horse porn that you watch. I'm telling you right now. That stuff is, well, maybe it's because I just remember it from 97 where maybe it was more impactful. But for whatever reason, that stuff really, it was well done.
I think after watching Caveman squish a bug on another guy's face, bug juice is not bothering me since.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, when the bugs chased him toward that car, the train car.
Right,
and he jumps in halfway, and they slam the door, and half his carapace is in, and the other half's out. Right. And the bug itself pulls itself apart and lands on the floor and scurries under the thing.
You're right.
That
right.
gets me, dude.
Yeah.
That gets you?
Yeah. That totally gets me. And then having to pick around there and hope it's dead and poke at it and stuff. I mean, you know something bad's going to happen, but still, there's just some fun in that. So this thing where you said it's void of any fun, I'm having all kinds of fun.
I'm looking at the other movies that he's directed. All of the other ones that I've seen, I've had a lot more fun in. Hellboy, Blade 2. I mean, we mentioned them all here. Yeah. There's fun to be had. I mean, Hellboy it's dark, but there's comedy elements. Pan's Labyrinth, the overlying story is pretty damn sad, but, you know, but there's fun to be had in that one,
there's
too.
There's happiness somewhere, right?
There's happiness somewhere.
I'm finding that in movies that I just don't like movies. Well, any type of happiness in
the other Del Toro movie, what's it called? Devil's Boner or something like that?
The Jeez. Devil's Backbone.
Backbone. Devil's Backbone. Satan's Boner, yeah. That's supposed to be real bleak, so if you want no fun at all, I hear that one's
looking
a rough one.
The description of that one. But apparently Guillermo's working on an Incredible Hulk TV series.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. How do we feel about that, everybody? How's that sound?
Happy.
Okay.
It'll make me angry.
No, you know, just I recognize that I'm a comic book nerd and I can't help this, but one of the most warming moments in film for me in the last decade is the nod to the Hulk TV show in the Incredible Hulk film. From, what was it, 5 years ago?
Yeah, the one with, not with...
Stanley and...
Ed Norton.
Ed Norton, right. The newer,
There's a scene where the score references the music from the TV show. Literally walking in torn shorts along the side of a road in the rain.
Yeah.
Were they... I couldn't remember. Were they purple?
I think in the end they were. Toward the end they were, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, now that I think about it. But anyway, my point is... Yes, yes. Bring me an Incredible Hulk TV show, and keep in that way of presenting the story, and I will be so happy.
Because that show is a big ball of melted cheese. But one thing it got right, and I think it would still work today, is that they focused in on what is this like for well, David Bruce Banner. Then, Banner. Let's say Bruce today.
Mr.
Bruce,
Banner, whoever, whichever.
Yeah, whichever one you are. Whichever one sounds less gay in 1975. but the idea that he's always on the run, that he can't ever stay anywhere, he can't put down roots, that this is hard for him. Like, that is what made that show powerful.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, you could do that now.
A side of him that has no control.
You do that now. We have the effects. We have all the other crap you need. And the budget for it, and the storytelling, and the cinematography, and all the things that we do so well today. All you need is somebody who can write in that way. Oh man, that'd be awesome. So I don't know what his plans are. I mean, maybe his version of Hulk has eyes on his hands. Or
and
something.
Now that we've established that, now that we've established that, how hard would it be to get Mark Ruffalo on TV in this show?
What else has he got going on?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's got a movie here and there, but we live in a time where TV is more lucratively looked at by AAA, AA, B stars, whoever, mm-hmm. than it ever was in the past. I mean, TV used to be
Bacon.
Where you went to die. Now,
right.
People are happy to make an awesome show with movie cred and, you know, blow everyone's minds and stuff like that. But if it's network TV, we're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
We're screwed. Put it on TNT or put it on...
Yeah. AMC.
AMC or something. Yeah.
No, wait,
yeah.
What? The following? That's on... What
AMC?
That's on Fox?
No, that's Fox. That's Fox. But that show's shit.
I like that
Bacon?
Show.
You saying Bacon?
No. No, don't get me wrong. Bacon's awesome.
That's a good show.
Bacon's awesome. The show's not very good.
That's a good show, Scott.
Brian really likes it.
But if you want to talk about a bad, you know, talk about Heroes, second season and further, how network TV or network... superhero shows just usually don't work. The Cape had some
trust
see in that, and I'll defend parts of the Cape. I think parts of it were done very well, but all in all,
connected
same
to
problem.
His neck, but the parts that were hanging down by his feet, those are the worst. That's the worst part of the Cape. All right. Well, I love the '90s era opening credits, kind of seven-ish, you know, with the quick cuts and the like dirty bugs and descriptions, and everyone's credits are like Mira Sorvino, case number 55843. I love that. That's the thing that doesn't exist anymore, and I wish it did a little bit more. I got a trope.
You got a trope?
My scrote.
Whoa, sorry, that was my scrote. That's right next to the trope button. Autistic kid who knows everything and just walk around and solve the mystery. I don't like that.
You didn't like it? I actually thought it was...
It's too simplified. Yeah, this kid, because he knows how to copy the clicking noise of the freaking bugs, and the bugs aren't going to bug him because he can click like them.
Right. But he was the son of a shoe polisher. The true enemy of the roach or bug.
He's the guy that fixes people's shoes.
Didn't even make that connection. That's
pretty good.
Fantastic.
Done away.
Are you kidding me? It's totally smart movie. Real smart movie.
All right. So I didn't think of that, but that's pretty good. All right, I'll double trope you then. Here's one. Here's a better one. The pretty doctor, totally into her weird science, ends up biting her in the ass. Like, oh, I've got this great thing. Oh, no, it's all gone wrong, and it's my fault. Common, common and stupid. I don't like that trope very much.
This wasn't a trope, but it was, I don't know. It's kind of a visual trope.
We'll give it a scrote.
My scrote.
Go for it.
My scrote. I'm telling you, man, if I have to go out and have to go to a kid's hospital, I want to go with the one with the cool tent beds that the kids had.
How realistic are those?
And the lighting. Oh, the lighting. Yeah. As a kid, don't you think that would be really comforting?
Yeah, everybody had like an 80-watt soft bulb underneath their thing.
And the rest of the room is dark as hell.
This is awesome.
It's all nuns.
Just gonna put this light right in here with you. Yeah. All right, good night.
It's all nuns walking people around and stuff. That was pretty gothic. I thought, but when they first showed that, I thought, oh, we're going back in time to talk about an earlier plague in the 20s or something. That's what I thought that was. And then I'm like, what? In 1997? That doesn't exist.
We have a big... it's the idea there's a huge epidemic, and that's the idea, but I just don't see it.
Where all the kids just...
Yeah.
Right, just suddenly...
They're all breathing like dogs. Mm-hmm. Kids are just in a lot of peril in this movie.
We have lived in really, really... We, human beings, have lived in super close proximity to cockroaches for hundreds of thousands of years. Like, there is no... there's no surprises anymore.
You don't think some
kind
of
weird... they were going to do to kill us, they've already tried to do that.
Well, I wonder, I'm no pandemic person or anyone who understands this particular piece of science, but isn't it possible that, a monkey suddenly has a disease that is communicable and now everyone's got it and humans are dying left and right, like Ebola and others, or even AIDS or whatever. How come I mean, why would it be that far-fetched that this could come from a dirty bug?
A dirty bug.
I'm just saying, like, right now, tonight, a billion human beings will have a cockroach crawl over their skin while they're sleeping. Right. Seriously. Like,
that's a little bit of exaggeration, but yeah.
No, that's probably right, dude.
It's probably pretty close.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. And that's a tiny part of my problem with the biology of this movie. You know, I just wish they had gone a different direction with it. I wish they had.
I'm curious, where would you take it? What
maybe
would you do?
Space.
Oh,
really?
I'm going directly to
aliens.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like the idea that, you know, like the mutation. Shetland. The mutation is, you know,
someone's got a little too much StarCraft on the brain.
You know what I was thinking? No. That's what I was thinking. He's going to go. He's going to do a little like plot course correction. Like, I'd have made her a man, and I probably would have. Yeah. I don't know. I think the old man was a bad idea for a character. No, you said I think I'd take it to space.
Well, I do think that scene, the scene where Mira Sorvino gets captured.
Yeah.
Which made no sense. Super confusing to me because I thought, oh, this is where she either gets converted to a bug, like infected or whatever, and then she comes back and she's like the queen of the bugs. Ooh. And wait a minute. I'm
Lacutus of Mimic. Yeah.
I'm confused here.
Why didn't he just eat her? And that's what I thought too.
Yeah, they're killing him left and right. Yeah.
Right. They did the structure of the hive, of the bug. You know, there's only one that does this and one that does that. I thought, well, maybe they'll explain it. No, they never came back to it.
Yeah.
Well, and, it's and like Newt. It was like a Newt
in a box.
They were basically doing the Newt trope. It was the whole, you know, they come out at night mostly. They were trying to do this with her, except instead of stealing the kid. Well, they did actually. They did Newt double Newt is what they did because they took the autistic kid and didn't hurt him. And they took her and didn't hurt her. And they were going to go put them on the wall and harvest them or whatever they do, just like aliens. I mean, they stole that right from aliens, that bit.
Well, I figured since she was pregnant, I thought it was going to go with a whole. And maybe that's what part two is about. I didn't see
she wasn't pregnant, though, right? Was she?
She was pregnant.
No,
yeah.
It was negative, remember?
I love the eternal optimism.
No, they were trying, but.
Yeah, she wasn't pregnant yet. Mm-hmm. He had weird sperm, that guy.
Weird.
Douche sperm.
He had douche sperm. He was St. Thomas More in the Tudors. He's a British guy, and we've seen him recently in, now I'm going to have to look it up. I forgot I had it written down someplace. Anyway, he was in a movie we just saw. The Net. He was that bad boyfriend in The Net.
The guy who chases,
Yeah, Net. Also douche.
The one we just saw 6 months ago.
Double douche. Yeah, the one we just saw 40 episodes ago. Remember that?
Hey, just let me ask you a question. If you're Mira Sorvino and you're in the subway and you're not exactly sure what time it is, you've been looking at bug pictures for the last 3 hours or so and you've kind of lost time, are you going to go over in the corner somewhere and see some dude's shadow and go, what time is it?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, and you just hit on my favorite trope in the film.
Oh, wait. I want to hear the favorite trope.
The sinister subway. If there's a subway in a movie, there's bad things going down.
Yeah.
Seriously, there's never been a good subway, a friendly subway, a subway where nice things happen.
Yeah,
in a movie.
Like forgetting to not put onions on my 12-inch. That's what you're saying? Oh, not that subway.
That's a bad subway.
In the most recent James Bond film, this trope starts and ends in less than 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like the whole movie goes around the world. There's all this shit happening. Suddenly James Bond is in a subway and you're like, uh-oh, bad things are going to happen. The subway attacks him and almost kills him. And then he's out and he moves on to the next thing. Like any movie with a subway.
Bust right through the wall or the ceiling or something.
That reminds me of Speed. Yeah. That reminds me of, there's a lot of those movies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some of them are about it. Like Midnight Meat Train.
What? What's Midnight Meat Train?
You haven't seen Midnight Meat Train?
No, I want to, though.
I've never heard of Midnight Meat Train.
I'm not going to look that
it's
up.
It's either porn or not.
Really?
What?
This is,
oh, Meat
seriously?
Train.
Yeah, Midnight Meat Train.
Like meat, like the meat.
Clive Barker movie.
No, like meat, like, no,
like
meat.
Meat
you
is
eat.
In like steak.
Meat, Midnight Meat Train, the movie. Own it on DVD. Here it is.
Oh, Bradley Cooper.
I don't know anything about this movie. I'm never the guy who knows the movie and no one else does.
This isn't even that old.
This
isn't even that old. It's, 2008?
It is meat, like stick of meat.
How many times do I have to...
Wow, Brooke Shields, Vinnie Jones, Roger Bart, I don't know him. Tony Curran, don't know him. Barbara Eve Harris, don't know her. But anyway, sure, I'll watch this.
It's a trope, man. It's a serious trope.
What do they do? Is it a serial killer that's just
Serial killer in the subway, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm down with that. He fights with a... What is that he's got? A meat tenderizer?
Yeah.
Oh, that looks like shit. Right. Okay,
can't get a butcher knife? Come on.
Hey, this movie had one of these.
Yes.
A big one where she's going through paperwork.
Time to build a cockroach.
Yes. You're the man. I was saying you're a maniac. You're the best. I built the cockroach, honey, and I'm still not pregnant. All right, let's go. Let's go find the angry black cop.
A leg on this one.
Here's another trope. I like this one. Every 90s movie had a airhead girlfriend. A friend that was an idiot.
Frizz head.
Yeah.
Right.
Just so...
I'm taking a picture to remind myself of my sadness.
All right, that was really bad. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah.
This is not a perfect movie, but it is in the long tradition of film of giant ants, giant spiders, big alligators.
And that part of it I kind of liked. I just wish they would have done something a little more more fun with it. Still can be, it can still be dark. It can still be scary, but I don't know. Give me something.
Aliens 3 was more fun than this. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And Aliens 3 is one of my big complaints. Yeah. One of my complaints about Aliens 3 is that Aliens 3 is also devoid of any kind of joy. But it has more than this. I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. Aliens 2 had it in spades. You had lots of fun moments, funny moments.
Bill good Paxton. Mm-hmm. Anyone ever confuse you for a man?
Right. Da, da, da. Yeah. The knife game with Bishop. And then Bishop at the end turns out not to be a douche like Frodo or Bilbo was in the first one.
So do you think you could fix this movie?
Hang on, stop right there. We'll find out if we can fix this movie in just a moment. Nice transition, huh? Hey, it's Scott here. I want to talk real quick about our sponsor today, Shutterstock.com. That's Shutterstock.com. They're fantastic. If you're like me, you're doing projects, art stuff, web stuff, video stuff, vector stuff, whatever stuff. You need to find the sort of perfect asset that you need, be it an image, a video, whatever. Clip art. I hate to use the word clip art, but, you know, some people use that word. You can choose from 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips at Shutterstock.com. They have many, many contributors, 10,000 images every day. So pretty much every time you go there, they're going to have something new. You can find art assets. It's a hard thing to say fast. That you're looking for, and save them to your Lightbox gallery. Then you can access these selections anytime and share them with your coworkers, your team, your clients, whoever may need to see them. The iPad app is awesome as well, so do check that out. You can get it for free. So here's what I'd recommend you do. You go to Shutterstock.com, and you sign up for any package, whatever it may be. And first of all, you can try it for free without anything. Just no credit card needed. Just start an account, begin using Shutterstock. Try to imagine what your next project might look like. Save some assets and put them in your Lightbox. Check that out. Once you decide to purchase, use this offer code. It's FilmSack3. That's FilmSack, one word, 3, all tied together. And any new account will receive 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com. And for 30% off new accounts, use the offer code FilmSack3. We thank Shutterstock for their support of FilmSack. So how can we fix this movie again?
By going real A-team with it. Like, let's bring in Bradley Cooper and the guy from District 9 and have a bunch of jokes and stuff.
Yes.
Well, how about this Mimic 2? Anyone see any of the sequels? I haven't seen any of those. I don't know.
No, they look really bad.
Mimic 2, 2001, and then Mimic the Sentinel in 2003.
Is Del Toro's not involved?
Not at all. But Lance Hendrickson stars in Mimic Sentinel.
Of course he does.
And I'm kind of into that now.
Is Ron Perlman somehow involved too?
Let's find out. Mimic 3 Sentinel. A man enclosed in a plastic bubble, his sister and their best friend must defend an apartment complex from the mutant Judas breed insects.
Oh, that almost sounds like the space story.
Where they almost don't have anything to do with the first movie.
Right.
Wow. Right. A man enclosed in a plastic bubble and his sister. That sounds awesome, you guys.
Have there been enough characters who can't interact with the world or because they're allergic to air or something? Have there been enough of them that's a trope?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bubble boy.
It's a scrote.
My scrote.
It's a scrote. Yeah.
take your hero, give him a weakness. And if you can't make it a really clever and really well thought out weakness, just make it so he has to be in a bubble all the time, or that he can't see the color red, or that he.
Right, right. It was the Moops.
It's got, hold on a sec. Lance Hendrickson plays a character called Garbage Man. So good luck to you there. I don't know what's going on there. For he will forever be Ace Hanlon in The Quick and the Dead, fantastic Western, if you haven't seen it. All right, what else? Kids in Peril, we talked about that. That professor dude, what's his name? You already said his name.
Professor
Murray
Smarts.
Abraham.
Yeah. This is the second week in a row we've had a character with that name.
Yeah.
With the Ping name.
Oh, Professor Ping.
Professor Ping last week, and then there was a Ping in this one too.
Pong, was it?
Professor Ping.
He had to borrow Edward James Olmos's cheeks for this role. Wore those the entire time. Let's see. Why didn't they kill her when they had her? We talked about that. That still just kind of bugs me. Because they at least in the Newt one, or in the way they did in Aliens, is you would kind of go, oh, they're putting them in for breeding. So the only ones they kill are the ones that are really fighting against
them. She's going to be the new queen that's going to help, you know, give them an extra set of immunity powers or something.
No, and this one they didn't even do that.
Immunity.
It's like he flew her down, dropped her off in a pile of poo, and then flew off again. And then she just got lucky because her husband showed up.
Yeah.
And that was a waste of time. It was almost like an excuse to say, you guys, we have got the sweetest looking FX to get her picked up and carried down that tunnel.
Well, that's the thing. We got to use it. They all had a meet up conveniently down in the subway. So, I mean, how do you do that? You kill the one that can get back, and you do the carry her down. And then you have the autistic kid. He goes down there looking for his neighbor.
Looking for shoes or whatever.
Looking for shoes.
Weird shoes. Funny shoes. Yeah.
They're friends.
Shiny brown shoes.
Shiny brown shoes. Poo all over
them. Shiny brown
it was
shoes.
A blown. It was a blown. It was a plot device. That's nothing like the word blown. It was a plot device to say, oh, look, now you're on the bottom floor. We're on the top floor. There are no steps anymore. Well, what are we going to do? Like, we're that's stuck. The whole excuse. But I'm telling you, in 97, these effects hold up. They look pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Those
not
things flying up through all that lattice work and stuff, chasing her down. Oh, that's awesome.
They kept it dark, so that always helps with your special effects when you don't have the money.
I always think of 97, 98, kind of that area. It's not that long ago. Like, I just don't think of it as very long ago.
Right. This is post Jurassic Park.
But it's current PlayStation 1, and that freaks me out.
Oh, yeah.
If you think
good
about
point.
It. You know, like you're going, man, I don't even have StarCraft 1 yet. That's a year after this.
Mm-hmm.
What? I don't even have that. Like, it's older than we think. Is what
it
I'm
is.
I guess I think
at.
Of it as like basing it around the birth of Tristan. You know, like movies before then, and then movies after that, because that was such a defining moment in when we had to stop seeing movies.
Your movie watching patterns changed dramatically.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. 97, Carter was born. So you'd think I would think of it more like that, but yeah, I don't know, man. That's totally weird.
I really didn't like and I don't know. The first time I noticed this trope was Jurassic Park, when the T-Rexes could not see people if they didn't move. I'm sure this is not the first time it's been used in a movie. I could be wrong. But they did that kind of here, too. It's like, okay, well...
They can't see. They, can't they see just me. Smell blood or
can't
whatever.
Smell.
Right, well, right.
Which well, didn't
they
jive
did.
With
they
the guys.
Did Predator as well, but it was more like...
Well, it doesn't jive when you had a tall guy in a black coat and a hat supposedly standing in a subway with other people.
Right.
How's he getting around?
Right, right.
And how's he controlling? Like, on the one hand, they want us to think these things are super intelligent in some weird way.
Right.
But then they're like, it's all driven by blood and instinct. So I don't know. They kind of had it both ways a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too.
Let's see. What else?
But okay, so just stop right there, because I just can't help with the thought. Is this supposed to just be a horror film?
Kind of. Mm-hmm. But it's...
I was wondering if it was going to be a comic or something.
It's supposed to be
thriller, like, horror, science fiction. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say that. I don't think it was supposed to be pure horror, though.
They should have stuck. She should have really gone for one of them. Like, they should have really gone for the horror film aspect of it, and really juiced that.
Well, that's where it was probably showing the most promise, right?
There was one moment in the film where I jumped, and I can't remember when it was now. Oh, when the dude's looking through the window in the street.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
People in there come and put their hand on the glass,
yeah.
And there's a really loud.
Yeah.
Sam.
Yeah, he gets up close, yeah.
Yeah, right. Like that. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a horror film. But they never really commit to that.
No. No, they didn't. The part that scared me the most is when the douchebag guy grabbed his glasses after they'd fallen, and one lens was all shattered, so he popped it out, and then he put it on his head, and then he squinted through the wrong eye when he put them back on his head. Yeah, that was a nice goof up there.
I didn't notice that.
It's like, you idiot, it was the other lens, you jackass.
Well, back on the day, back when this was on VHS, apparently they said this was on the front cover, a smart, hip adrenaline rush. That would immediately made me go no.
Yeah, but hip. Those are marketing people. They don't know. They don't know what
they're
writing.
Because it wasn't very smart.
No. Or no. Hip.
Or hip. I wouldn't call it hip.
Yeah.
I would have called
it hard pounding.
I would say it's a fun monster movie that I still think holds up. And it has Mira Sorvino in it. And she looks great, even with dirt all over her face. Even with shit smeared all over her face. She's still cute.
I think Charles S. Dunton, though, puts it over top for me.
He's great.
I think his Yeah, he's cute, very cute. That head, so sexy.
Do you remember that rock show he had on Fox, yep. Was it?
The ROQ? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. ROC, I thought it was, wasn't it?
Was it ROC?
I thought it was ROC.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Dwayne Johnson's ruined that for him, but whatever.
Thanks a lot, Dwayne.
He just fills the screen, and I find him really compelling and interesting. And if you had to go back in time to Die Hard time, right, you could swap him out for TGI Friday guy, and he'd be a better cop. I think.
Urkel's neighbor.
Yeah, Urkel's neighbor. Take him out and put in this guy.
Let's not make any attempt at naming the actor, right?
Put in prison inmate from Alien 3 and you're done.
He is prison inmate.
When I can't remember names, this is how I identify people. All right, jump scares. We talked about that. Who would name their kid Chewy? Not me. I wouldn't do it.
Chewy is a Spanish name, right?
Is it?
It's a common Spanish name.
Chewy.
All I could think of was Chewy. Yeah, like that. Ooh, you do a good Chewy. Do that again.
As you can see, I chose this particular voice because my neck waddles.
All right. Let's get on to some sound clips. We have a fair amount of them, and I will start with this one here. How common is the cockroach, and why did everyone laugh?
I don't think I need to tell you New Yorkers just how resilient the common cockroach is.
You guys all saw that TV show on MTV with the cockroaches. That's what I'm talking about. This is smart and hip.
They made a movie out of that, didn't they? They
Joe's
did.
Joe's Apartment?
Yeah.
Oh, Joe's Apartment. Yeah, right. Joe's
Isn't that a movie? And it's Earl. My name is Earl.
Right. Started out as an MTV cartoon. Not cartoon, but like a...
Like a little short.
Stop motion animation short. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It had sliders in it, right?
Sliders.
Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell, that's it.
Yeah. Right,
was Jerry O'Connell in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the main actor. That's,
I thought it was the My Name is Earl guy.
What's that?
I thought it was the My Name is Earl guy.
Jason Lee.
I thought that was him.
Huh. Yeah. No, there's something with Jason Lee and cockroaches. What is that about?
Well, those are chipmunks. That's terrible. I wish they were cockroaches. All right, let's get to, what's this one here? Oh, funny shoes.
Funny shoes.
That doesn't even sound autistic to me. funny shoes.
Of course, my dad lets me try my shoes on Mondays on the driveway.
You know what I'm in the mood for? Rain Man. Mm-hmm. This is the fourth or fifth time this has come up in the last 2 weeks, and I kind of want to see the movie.
I'm looking at the cast list of this. Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead was in this?
Yeah, he was the guy that was selling the, I'll play his bits first.
Oh, perfect timing.
Yeah, here he is. Hold on, I gotta find him now. Here he is. Check him out.
Body parts, cocaine-filled condoms, little baby alligators. Shit, you wouldn't believe the stuff I'd seen. Yep.
Anyway, that's him. The guy that was selling found the giant body in the...
He's always going to
sue or whatever. And he did this at the end of it.
I love that.
He said he was in a band. Yeah, he looked familiar, and I started hunting around. I'm like, you're kidding me. At first, I thought it was the Bucktooth kid and that he was that young, but he's not that young.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. No. That kid could have grew out of those teeth or grew into him. One of the two.
Okay, let's see. Young Josh Brolin enters the scene, and I had no idea this was him until I rewatched it.
You sure this is yellow fever?
Are you ignoring your pages now?
Listen.
Okay, these two cops saw the broken scaffold and then the paint mess here, and then they looked through that cellar window.
I find him infinitely compelling to watch and listen to.
Right. And I thought it was interesting way the way they captured that paint spilling instead of blood splattering everywhere.
Oh, the Chinese priest guy that fell?
Right, right.
Or whatever he was?
Yeah. Anybody see Josh Brolin's dad make an appearance on Community?
No.
Yeah. Huh? Yes, his Winger's dad.
Yeah, Winger's dad is James Brolin on Community now.
Oh, weird. I'm a fan of the Brolins.
It is the perfect pairing. Like, there's something about James Brolin that just feels like Joel McHale. Well, I don't know what it is.
Speaking of Josh Brolin, wasn't he on Goonies? Was it Goonies he was on? Or am I thinking of Chris O'Connell?
Yeah, he was the big brother.
Okay, but Chris O'Connell was on that as well, right? Or maybe I'm thinking of Stand By Me. Nah, I don't know.
You mean Jerry O'Connell?
Jerry O'Connell.
Not Jerry O'Connell.
Well, they're brothers. Mm. They're twins, aren't they? Isn't there a Jerry and a...
Sean Astin.
But he's not their twin.
Sean Astin's on that?
Yes.
He was in Goonies. Yeah,
oh, he didn't mean to.
No, he's talking about Stand By Me.
He didn't mean to, Mr. Frodo. He didn't mean to. Here's some shit on the ceiling.
Piece of shit on the ceiling. Figure that one out.
I love it when you introduce a clip and you say exactly what the clip says. Yeah.
My favorite part of this clip, and you have to listen real carefully, is that it's not my favorite part. It's the most disconcerting and kind of makes me crawl a little bit. The sound that the thing makes when he takes the sample off the ceiling and drops it in the bowl. So just listen to how that sounds real quick.
Piece of shit on the ceiling.
Huh? Oh, gosh. You hear that?
Floop.
Yeah.
Floop. That was Del Toro. He was in the bathroom. Gotta get some Foley in here.
Gives me the crawlies. All right. How come you like bugs so much?
How come you like bugs so much?
I did that again, didn't I? Do it again. That was buck teeth, right?
How come you like bugs so much?
Yeah. You can hear him lisping right past those two big fronters.
Gnawing on the corner of a...
It's like a living salt chipmunk man.
There really is a thing there, though. Like, remember we started talking about this with the skydiving movie? How in a movie, when somebody does something weird, it seems like everyone they encounter also does that, too?
The Wesley Snipes movie.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
And so in this movie, an interest in bugs seems to be a part of everyone's life. Yeah. The kids, everybody she knows.
Yeah. It's because
everybody else is dead.
You know, the movie kind of did have that Dark City feeling of this isn't quite a real city. Like, something's wrong here, and it's not just that there's bugs. It's that something's just not right. Maybe it was because it was filmed in Toronto. That doesn't help. But it didn't feel like New York.
It's a weird New York, yeah.
Yeah. It's actually... And it's,
I kept feeling like it was more in the future than they had implied.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, the heat we've taken for suggesting that Warriors was set in the future. I got an email at the end of the show.
That's the one I said, when we recorded that, I said that's what Wikipedia says.
No, and that's what everything says. Right. And I agree with it. I think that is
There's
what they
nothing
intended.
In the film that suggests it. But,
no, but the filmmakers themselves have made comments that, yeah, this is a futuristic wasteland of gangs and violence, and everyone out there thinks we're crazy.
And warriors.
And warriors. Don't forget the warriors. Come out and play EA. All right. Here's one about fruit.
Whatever peels your banana, lady.
I like that. Butterbean.
Now, then you need to be telling that to a dude, not a girl, man.
No, come on, kid. Where'd you grow up?
Where repeals your orange?
The hard streets of Toronto? What's going on? All right, here's Charles S. Dutton comes on the scene.
Okay, we'll pay for the lock that we broke, officer. I mean, whatever we can
Lady,
do.
Lady, who am I talking to now? You or him?
You're talking to me, okay? You're talking to me.
I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm. I liked him. So good.
Just punch that douche
so
in the face.
So good.
To punch that British-born, British-raised, British-accent-having, somehow fakes a really good American accent douchebag right in the face. The British are so good at faking us. We're terrible at faking them. Mm. What's going on with that?
I agree. We should get to work.
All right. That
fits in everything.
It does.
Proof. Okay, something about proof.
Tweaked out crackheads, dope heads, shitheads, mental cases, then suddenly, poof, all gone.
Not proof, poof. It wasn't proof. Poof. I wrote proof. Right. I meant poof.
Okay, so I'm down with, you know, the crackhead. What else did he say? He said several heads, but he said shitheads. Why? What are they doing?
Just jerks. Just jerks. The rest of them have problems. But
how does that get you into the you know, the hobo business?
Right. How'd you become homeless? Oh, I took a lot of crack. How about you? I do meth all the time. How about you? I'm just kind of a jerk in class.
I'm down here.
Just kind of a shithead. How about some... I don't know what this is.
That's some weird shit here.
Oh, there we go. More Dutton. That movie had a lot of those walk into a room, music changed, shocked look on your face, slow pan around, and now here's what you're seeing. That was happening a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you blame them? They all do that.
I do that.
I don't blame them. You do it all the time.
If there, if there was walking cockroaches, I would just have it enter every room. What the?
All right. Here's a. I don't know what this is.
Oh, man. That's going to work.
All right. More dust.
I love him.
Yeah. He's a cranky old dude in this. Here he is again.
What the was that?
I like that one, too.
Well done on the beeping there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I did that.
What the was that?
That wasn't in the film. I had to make it. Is this true?
Sometimes an insect will evolve to mimic its predator. A fly can look like a spider.
No, it can't.
A caterpillar can look like a snake.
I call BS on both those things.
I tried to look
can
that
look
up.
Like a snake.
I Googled it up. I'm like, what is that? Doesn't even make any sense. Why would
a
caterpillar
worm
look like a snake?
Can look like a caterpillar.
Right. It's a circle of life.
And a sausage. It can look like a sausage.
That's right. You might end up eating it, and you'd never know.
Please don't get me started.
See, this is the problem. Even I was like, okay, you are just talking to a... You're hoping a bunch of people in the audience are really dumb. And they're just going to buy what you just said. You could have come up with examples. You could have said there's certain... You know, like a stick insect is a stick. You could have done that.
But then, yeah, you didn't look it up back in the day, did you? Because you didn't have a smartphone in the theater.
I guess.
They're also, you just have to take your word for it.
They're also determined that evolution happens at a breakneck pace.
Yeah.
Right.
Like an...
Don't
get me started.
They try to kind of explain that, oh, they've quickly adapted because the stuff I fed them or whatever made them, you know, billion times faster or whatever.
I fed them Miracle Grow.
Right. But that was a cheap answer to a much bigger scientific
thing. Just to give you an example, when studying evolution, genetic changes in bacteria, which reproduce way, way, way faster than any insect, tens of thousands of generations are involved in the lab. Yeah. Tens of thousands of generations.
This has been Professor Moment.
I'm just saying, like,
Randy.
Three years, insects? No.
Yeah.
No.
It seems a little nuts. I'm with you.
They grew lungs, Randy. That's how they got so big.
Listen, I think that if they don't even get started on the lungs thing, I have a feeling that would really put Randy in the grave. What I really see, this is the thing, is that if they were evolving at that rate, if that was possible, then at the end of 3 years, they wouldn't still look like giant bugs. Mm-hmm. Right. I think they'd be talking and walking around and like have pets and stuff. Like there wouldn't be this instinctual bug thing.
Right. Did you guys keep having like where you're going, oh, somebody's a bug. Who is it? Did you start thinking that?
With everybody.
Right.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I say, it started when she got captured and then she's totally cool. The rest of the movie, I'm thinking she's going to sprout wings any minute.
Yeah. I thought that in 97. But I didn't remember. I didn't do it this time because I already seen it. I wondered if I kept thinking Danny Trejo was going to come out of somewhere, but I mixed that up with Replacement Killers, and that's the other movie she's in, which I love. Oh, we got to see that sometime soon. My gosh, you guys, that's got. He's in Walking Dead right now, and his name always slips. The older brother to Daryl, Merle.
Oh yeah.
He's in it. He's great in it. He's a cop. Oh, he's good. Anyway, we got to watch that. The Replacement Killers. Coming up on a film sack near you.
Michael Rooker,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Some angry acting to finish this out here before Scott Fletcher has his say. So here you go.
No! You will not hurt him! No! Turn around!
Jeez. Damn, baby.
She really... She put a face on it there. She had something in mind while she was doing that acting.
Yeah.
A mimic face?
Yeah, maybe.
Charles.
Her fat dad was so
proud. This is for that singing movie with the guy from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
When she made this movie, he was in Law and Order. That was like his Law and Order days when she was making this. So they were both acting quite a bit back then. Now there's just like no sign of her. It's all garbage. I looked it up and there's just nothing.
You know what I would watch?
What?
I would watch this movie if it was just Charles S. Dutton trapped in the sewers by himself and this alien just being mad the whole time.
That's a very interesting idea.
I would love that movie. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be fun? I love movies where people are very, there's a lot of solitude going on anyway. They're always interesting to me to see how people kind of, I don't know, what's it like? It's like I Am Legend or something, or better examples than that. But I love movies where it's just you, a dog, and that's it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Kind of like The Predator. Yeah.
Castaway does that.
Later on. Castaway.
Didn't you just see Castaway, Ibbett?
I did, yeah. Just showed that to Tristan.
You said it held up? You liked it?
Oh, totally holds up.
So the part where he knocks his tooth out, though, does that still make me want to leave the theater and never come back?
Oh, yeah. Ugh, dude. That's rough. It's a rough scene.
I can't do it.
The plane movie, crash at the beginning is incredible.
Like, yeah. But that movie is really, really tedious, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like it. I feel like it's you know, always going.
That's the stuff I like. I like that tedium of the lone guy on the island trying to figure
it out. How would you compare it to Joe versus the Volcano? Also Tom Hanks.
Since they're so related.
I like that movie a lot.
How about the Money Pit? How about the Money Pit? Would you compare it favorably to the Money Pit?
It holds up better than the Money Pit.
Okay. Okay. Back when Diane thought she was going to have a hot career after Cheers. Remember that? Didn't really work out.
I'm leaving this place.
She's really good on Modern Family. I'll give her that. She plays the grandma or the mom or whatever. She only shows up once in a while, but she's really funny.
Right.
All right. Scott Fletcher has a few of these to say.
Before we do that, can I just shoehorn in a trope?
Shoe him in. Oh, wait.
Just
mush groat.
Damn it. There you go. Wrong one again.
When there's a kid that doesn't have a guardian at the end of the film, you must adopt the kid.
That's a good one.
True.
That's right. That's another Newt. You could roll that right into the Newt thing. Of course, Newt died the very next movie, didn't she? In 3?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before the credits finished.
Oh, my gosh. What were they doing? That was a Fincher joint,
such
too.
A waste of a great character.
Waste of a great character. Waste of Fincher. Waste of Dutton. Waste of Bishop. Waste of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Waste of my time.
Yeah, I actually liked 4. I don't know what's wrong with me. I thought Alien 4 was awesome.
I'm gonna call that the film climax required adoption.
Okay.
Right after the climax of a film, if there is a child that doesn't have a guardian,
FCRA,
you are required
to
adopt the child. And I mean, sometimes it's even like you can see it coming throughout the whole film, like with the Face Off, remember?
Yep. Oh, Face Off is the most egregious use of this, for sure.
Right.
Oh, remember that up at the door? All you had to do was crack a smile and they brought him in. Oh, he's part of a family now. This is great. Where's Castor Troy? All right. Let's do Fletcher time. Here's one.
Can I eat it or will it eat me?
Oh, you heard that at the top of the show. How about this one?
This is what I love about my job. I get to travel, see the world, meet new cultures. I mean, it's all bacterial, but hey, what the bleep?
Cultures.
Josh Brolin line. What's this?
Sometimes an insect will even mimic its predator.
Fancy pants. I'm saving the best one for last. Here's the second to last one.
Funny shoes.
All right, last one. This is 31 seconds of Scott Fletcher trying to get the word down. He doesn't do this very often. Once in a while, we get a gag reel from him. So I want people to enjoy this for what it is because it's a rare thing. Here you go.
Mimic. 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 One of those words. Mimic. If you say it enough, mimic. It sounds weird. Mimic. 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 My hands are... Why are my hands so freakishly huge? Mimic. Can't stop. Mimic. 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 God damn it, I can't... Surely one of those is the one I want to use. Mimic.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Love Scott Fletcher. And that leads us right into awards. Ladies and gentlemen, get on the red carpet and check it out. The stars are all here in tow. That's not a thing to say, but I'll say it anyway. We're going to give away our FilmSack Awards for today. Best use of Polaroids, just before we were about to get the first consumer-grade digital cameras award. Good job, guys.
Well, then she didn't have to do that in Photoshop afterwards, matching up the little face halves.
Yeah, she had to fold it in the subway with the blinking lights.
It's really hard to do with Polaroids.
Yep. Let's see, another award it got. It's not a New York subway station if the lights aren't all shitty award. So there you go. I mean, I expect if I ever get to New York, I'll just walk through there and go, why aren't the lights blinking? And everyone's going to think I'm crazy. Yeah, what a terrible place to be. In the Why Isn't Mira Sorvino Doing More Stuff Now award, clearly, easily, big win. For them. Also got a Star Trek connection, finally, here. We got F. Murray Abraham as Dr. Gates in this. He played Adar Ruffalo. Ruafo.
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 Mimic.
I saw a Ruafo. Listen, when Scooby-Doo sees a UFO, he yells, I saw a Ruafo. Anyway. A member of this of the sauna race in the 1998 film Star Trek Insurrection, so a year after this. He is best known for his Academy Award-winning role as Antonio Soleri, or something to that effect, in the 1984 Oscar-winning film Amadeus. Amadeus, soundtrack, Amadeus. Great. I'd give it an S for serviceable. It was all right. It was okay.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it did what it needed to do.
There were spots where it was very good. Intense. Yeah, really good.
Nice stuff. All right, let's sum it up. Let's tell fine folks at home in 140 characters or less in, I don't know, kind of a virtual Twitter post what you guys think the film is. Randy, let's start with you.
Mimic, a bunch of crap that looks like crap and sounds like crap, except for Charles S. Dutton. He was amazing. Charles S. Dutton for president.
Yeah. A little fanfare for him there.
Thank you.
Brian Dunaway.
Mimic, ultimate solution to giant flying bugs in your movie? Giant windshield.
Kind of had that with the subway at the end.
That's exactly what it was.
I kept thinking, what did that lady who was driving that think? It was a lady, I think. Like when you're right. When you're in the front there and you see that hanging on, that's not the same as James Bond trying to.
I was thinking the whole time she was running towards the train. I was like, no, she's not going to let it run into the train into the windshield like a big flying bug. I'm like, there's no way this is going to happen. It's not how it's going to end. And how the hell are you not supposed to sweat, woman?
You gotta sweat. All right, Brian Ibbett.
Mimic. This is Guillermo del Toro. No, let me try
this
again.
See?
It's a short one. It's a short one, so I'm gonna do it better. Right. Mimic. This is Guillermo del Toro's solution to a good time.
Nice.
Nice.
I like it.
Well, short. Well said. All right. Well, here's what I learned while you tried to sell a box of roaches to some lady for $20. would take a lot more than Chinese food and CDC success to get me to pile into a tub full of water with my clothes on. Remember that?
Would the big roach precariously sit on the edge of the counter that I thought was going to fall off?
I kept thinking, that guy's got like a StarTAC Motorola phone in his pocket. You're going to ruin it.
Well, they zoomed in on like there was something that was going to happen with it. Like it was going to flicker in its glass jar or something.
It's terrible.
Right, or was going to see, you know, boobs or something, but nothing happened.
Well, here's what else I learned. Hey, lady, when that tiny lamp in your office goes out, turn on a freaking light!
Right.
Does the world not have flashlights?
No. Well, she was... That was stupid. I hate movies where if the electricity's on, get another light on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go digging around in the paper for that roach that was bigger than the dog. Ugh.
So weird when people are in the dark and they don't get a flashlight.
Yeah.
Just get a flashlight.
Also, why wouldn't he have killed her in there?
I know. There's somebody listening right now that's going to say, well, I don't even know if I have a flashlight. I don't know where a flashlight would be. Most people, they have a flashlight and they know exactly where it is.
We have one. I know where it is. Oh, I think he said fleshlight. I think he said fleshlight.
Yeah.
I think most of our listeners know where that is.
Yeah.
I found a kid that's more into shoes and feet than Tarantino ever was. And that's what I learned from this silly movie. All right. Let's get a couple emails in. One from C. Norman, who says, hey, guys, you have to do Transylvania 65,000. Ed Begley Jr., Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis, Carol Kane, and Michael freaking Richards before Kramer. Or alternately, maybe you can watch the Steve Martin movie L.A. Story and explain it to me if it was a comedy or a damn drama. Thanks.
Aww.
You know what? That movie is weird that way.
I love L.A. Story.
But it's not. It is weird to tell. It's hard to tell what it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not. Yeah, it's definitely not, you know, The Jerk.
It's a dark comedy.
Well, it's a coming to realization comedy because, I mean, you know, he figures out that the world is better because of this light that's communicating with him on the highway. I love L.A. Story.
I haven't seen it in very long, so I can't really say.
I will defend it to the end.
I liked it.
I'm a giant Steve Martin fan, so I probably would enjoy it if I watched it again, but it's a little eclectic as my memory serves.
Yeah, it's got Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh.
Probably the cutest she's ever looked on film.
Really?
Yeah.
I liked her in Annie. Just kidding.
Hocus Pocus.
Dude.
She'd have been too young in Annie, right? I would have been too young. I don't know when that was. Hey, Film Sackers says, who's this? This is from Rich, who says, I have been listening to your show for about a year now, and it makes my commute so much easier and gives me movies to go back and forth and watch that are not on Netflix. I wanted to comment on your take on The Warriors. I was 20 when I saw the movie in theaters and living in New York City. It was exaggerated, but I feel it was more of a period piece than a future or post-apocalyptic piece. Gangs fought with bats, chains, and knives, not lots of guns. The police were what they were then, so busy they did not much. They did not do much unless there was a shooting and at night on the subways. Well, let's just say it was different. That was my 70s in New York. So that's an interesting perspective, because here's a guy who was living there at an adult age and felt like it was a reflection of the time.
Right.
All yeah, we're saying is the directors and some of the filmmakers have indicated this was a post-dystopian right. future.
And we thought it was weird, too, because it was like, mm-hmm. okay, but it doesn't really seem anything out of place from the 70s.
Yeah, well, it was jivey and...
Right.
It's probably even racist to say. I don't know. Is that racist? No, what was
no,
Jive?
No, Jive is not a race thing. No.
Well, it was weird. So it's weirdest as well.
There's another thing there, and we've talked about this many, many times, and that is I should be given everything I need to know about the film by the film. I should get, by the end of it, I should have come to understand everything I need to understand. I shouldn't go read something later and be surprised, or oh, I see.
Minority Report.
Shut up, Nim.
Minority Report.
We're gonna watch that movie, dude.
Yeah, we are. We have to,
because we have to talk about it in those terms.
It's been so long that I can't remember if I disagree or agree with Brian Dunaway.
Right. Well, the general consensus is that it was a better movie than the one you actually saw, because at some point everything flips and he's not in the real world anymore. And I want to go, BS, bull.
Who says that?
Hockey. Oh, it's
somebody getting that confused with Vanilla Sky.
Yeah, Vanilla Sky sounds like.
No. It's up until the point.
These Twitter people, you can't take them seriously.
Right. It's up until the point. Up until the point he is captured. Once he goes into the prison system, then the prison system puts you in a state of suspended animation. And at that point in time, the rest of the movie is a dream. I've heard this.
Whoever
many
says that is
arguments
smoking
many
crack.
Times, mm-hmm. and I've said it's a horrible thing to say to try to make your movie sound better.
I think it's better, and I don't believe that. I think it's a great movie, and it's got nothing to do with that. Dude, they have puke sticks in this movie. Come on, they're great. They poke each other with the puke sticks. They poke the bad guy from third season of Justified right in the chest, and he barfs.
Right.
It's great.
Right.
All right.
Wooden balls.
Moving on.
Rube Goldberg.
All right. That stuff is stupid. I know. You know what they're trying to say there, though? Oh, we're saving it. We're going to do that movie. At some point, listen, the guy in the guy that puts Buscemi in the chipper is going to show us how to put new eyeballs in your head and give you the wrong sandwich to eat. We're going to have that experience.
Is that even streaming? Is Minority Report streaming?
No.
Oh.
Only in my head constantly 24/7.
No.
If somebody wants to send us each a copy of it, we'll...
That's right. We get DVDs. Send us DVDs. We'll get this. We'll get it all hooked up.
We gotta work in The Island. I haven't watched it in at least a month.
I don't see why The Island couldn't be the next film we do, because we're kind of at a point where we could do that. You want to do The Island? All right. Yep. Hey, everybody, guess what? Next film sack's The Island.
Wow.
Yep, not so streaming, sadly. So I know not everyone loves that when we do that. But
it comes and goes from streaming.
Right.
So it's pretty... It's possible.
Let's see the status right
in the next
now.
6 months.
Yeah,
not streaming today. Just give it a couple weeks.
Yeah, it'll show up. So yeah, The Island by Michael Bay before he ruined Transformers. That's what this
starring
is.
Starring Ewan McGregor, Scarlett Johansson.
And by the way, Big Fish is streaming right now, and I think people should watch Big Fish.
That's a fantastic movie.
That's one of my favorite movies ever.
Back in the day.
Oh my gosh, I love that movie. It's not even that old. It came out in 2003, and it is one of my favorite movies. Period. I love that movie.
And if you're looking forward to movies coming up on FilmSack after our commentary track on The Island, is it a commentary track?
No, I don't know.
No. I don't think so. I don't think that one fits for that.
All right. Anyway, after The Island, we've got Broken Arrow, Anaconda, Dead Zone.
Anaconda, dude.
Yeah.
Ooh. Love Anaconda.
Ooh, I just noticed Untouchables is streaming. Have we done that? Have we done Untouchables?
No.
But one less in the more.
Listen here. I'll tell you how you get Capone. I'll put one of theirs in the... Is that how it goes? They put one of yours in the morgue. You put one of them in the thing.
Car keys.
Your car keys. You ever lose your car keys? All right.
Now I don't want to watch it. You just made me want to not watch it.
Also, Fire with Fire, starring Bruce Willis, is out on streaming. Okay. So, all right. So, next week, it's The Island. Let's do that. Let's make that happen. Oh, I just... Is that a Blu-ray to be get? Or is it DVD?
Yes. Blu-ray.
Yeah, I think it's Blu-ray.
It's hard for me to cap from, but I'll find
it. It makes me sad to watch
Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's why the commentary track won't work.
I can't do the commentary track.
If only there was a way to find these things on the internet. All right.
Mm.
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's get out of here. Folks, listen. If you want to give us our reviews on iPhones, on iTunes, you can do it. You go to iTunes, leave us a review. We love them, and I always like to read that feedback. Please do it. Also, you can find us on filmsack.com, show notes, lots of comments from people, links to our forums. All that stuff can be found at filmsack.com. You can email us at filmsack@gmail.com. We're happy to read your emails and follow us on Twitter at filmsack. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy this time.
Yo,
like it's ever different. We'll see you next time.
Roaches.
You were born with an asshole, Doris. You don't need Chuck.
I don't know why that's playing.
It's weird.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so
oh, stop it.
Like you're there. This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.